Okay.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is John. This is
Joan.
And there's Melena. Well, good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to our post 2022 Light Conference call. We're all excited to be together again to review the activation that took place in our Light Conference. We will also look back on the 15 sessions of energetic upgrades. It has been an amazing journey this past year that brought us to this particular moment of personal and collective consciousness. What a hoot. To start off today, there is one announcement. Level 2 of our Ascending Master Series will begin on Sunday, March 19th, 2023. At the usual time of 1 p.m. Central. We begin this series on another energetic potent day of the spring equinox. We hope that we hope you have the 2023 level 2 registration for Ascended Masters. It will be posted around the January, 1st of January, something like that. So you can kind of look for that. So now, you know, here's today's itinerary. Joan will bring forth the quadratic configuration of the four archangels who have been with us for much of our many teaching sessions. They will lead us into our crucible and help us to set the energies for today's session. Melena will then talk about the group's project that will start off the New Year teaching. Next, Joan and Melena will review this year's teaching sessions. And boy, how far have we come? It's amazing. Then they will have an open discussion for comments and questions. Melena will review Friday's conference activation segment. And Joan then will talk about the Saturday activation segments, as well as the Sunday morning activation. We'll then have a time for comments and questions. The Council of 12 will then close our session. Please welcome Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, my bud, and Archangel Uriel.
Greetings. We are the quadratic configuration of Archangel Michael, Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Uriel, and Archangel Raphael. We come in this configuration because it is a very auspicious time in your evolvement, and it brings with us, we bring with us not only massive light energetics in this configuration, but it helps to facilitate states of consciousness that you are required to hold during this session and many other sessions that will be coming in the next year of your time. So if you will take a deep breath now and notice yourself in your light body, in your light garment, sitting in your Merkaba vehicle, you are radiating light, your garment is a brilliant white with fire letters emblazoned in gold of Yod, He, Vav, He. The frequency that is set in your Merkaba vehicle is at 150% light. And your light body is emanating this frequency. Take a deep breath. Your physical body is now beginning to follow suit. All parts of you are vibrating at 150% light. Now, if you will follow us, we will lead you in your Merkaba vehicle to the cosmic realm where your massive light crucible is resting. All members are present and waiting for your arrival. As you exit your light vehicle, we lead you with intention and purpose into this magnificent temple of light. Archangel Gabriel is in the lead, emanating the Christed light of Prime Creator in its purity, followed by Archangel Michael, who protects the purity of the Christed imaging of the original Christed matrix. Bringing up the rear of this grand parade into this temple are Archangel Uriel and Archangel Raphael. Uriel holds the perfected wisdom of creative energy of the source of all that is. And Raphael holds all of the healing light that is necessary to remove any distortions in your field, in your mental emotional body, so that you are a clear vessel for this session. This is important for you to recognize, because all other members of this crucible do not operate in the same matter formation that you do, and you hold a very crucial part for all realms, all universes, all galaxies that have any semblance of matter or form. You lead the way into pure Christ consciousness because you have begun to integrate these codes and light codes into your physicality. So as you file in and join all members of this beautiful crucible, temple of light, take your seat and join with everyone present. We want you to notice something that you have not paid attention to previously. And this is what is happening in your unified field. you are emanating a massive toroidal field of light. That field is around your physical body, but it is within your physical body and is manifested in the center channel. Being transmitted from the creative realms of all that is. And with the spinning of that massive toroidal field of light, you emanate more of your original state. The unified field has taken on a golden hue that represents your Christed imaging. It is a beautiful hue that is part of you. This unified field is very, very important, both to you and to all that will come forth after you to follow the path of ascension. All members of this crucible, all of the Stargates, all of the archangels, all of the ascended masters are in awe of what you have accomplished in just one short year of your time. And they welcome you and are in deep respect for what you are in the process of creating. Take a deep breath and receive their blessing and their gratitude for what you have brought forth in the creative realms that has not been present for eons and eons, beyond any time or space. Another deep breath. And let us begin this closing session. We will begin. Milena and Jen. By reviewing what has transpired in this last year, you need to be aware of the magnificence of what you have accomplished so that you might continue in the coming time to finish this massive project that you agreed to create when you came into this embodiment. So let us begin this session.
Welcome, everyone. We are delighted all of you are here. And before we begin our review, I wanted to just a quick reminder about the 2023 group project. In the past week, the council has actually made some changes to that. So where before we said each group would be given a topic to explore and then create a presentation with, they've now changed it and each group will now have two topics to do. And with that, there will be an additional facilitator for each group. Kathleen was already going to be the alternate, so she's going to be joining group one as the fourth facilitator. And in Deanna's group two, Pat Austin will be joining them. So the council has asked that we take the remainder, all of December off and January to really incorporate all these massive, massive downloads and activations and streams of consciousness that we have received. So, but do expect to watch your emails, expect to hear from them toward the end of January when they will give you the dates of your, when you actually will start. So if they go to the end of January, that will actually give everybody 11 weeks since the conference. So following that theme of 11 right through that, I think is quite apropos. So just watch for that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, now we'd like to start reviewing everything, every teaching segment briefly. Melaine and I have divided it up so that we can present it in a short space of time. And after we have done that, we would like to open it for comments and any questions on what has transpired in this last year. It's when we were creating that, it was just amazing to me how much we really did cover. I had, you know, we took it a segment at a time. So I kind of just assumed that, you know, it was no big deal, but it was a big deal. So, and Melaine and I are here to attest that we spent many hours in contemplation and receiving the information. And, you know, after a session is done, you kind of forget what went into the prep part of it. So, anyway, I'll start off with the first four sessions. The first session was January 9th. And the Council of 12 introduced themselves to us for the first time in our group. And they said that new communication channels were being opened to facilitate the transfer of more refined light codes, geometries, and frequencies from the multidimensional realms. Melaine and I discussed the Merkaba components, and we led the group in the upgrade process that was needed. We increased the rotational spin of our Merkaba field from 135% to 140%. This increased our light body energy substantially. It's hard to realize that, you know, it was really a stretch for us in the beginning to hold that 100% light. And now here we are at 150 and sometimes more. The next session, session two, was on January the 23rd, and we had a second Merkaba upgrade. The council informed us that the center of the first tetrahedron of our Merkaba field is now called the inner sanctum, where the Holy Spirit Shekinah begins to manifest. Through the influence of the spinning white tetrahedron that carries the unlocked light template of unity and love, the spinning two tetrahedrons are merged. They become one stable spinning star tetrahedron that is not gender related. It is a state of consciousness of Prime Creator that is represented by the Holy Spirit Shekinah. As the presence of the Holy Spirit fills your soul expression in the divine image and similitude of source of your being, the pure form of the divine image with no gender restrictions or distortions is manifested through the consciousness of the Sacred Heart Center. The consciousness of our Sacred Heart Center is enhanced and influenced by the energetic spin of the white star tetrahedron as well as the purple star tetrahedron, where they spin in unison in the same axis as the first tetrahedron. So all is functioning within the Merkaba vehicle, within the unified field, and in complete unity. We increased the light frequency of the white star tetrahedron and the deep purple star tetrahedron to 140% light, and then we increased our Merkaba field to 150% light. Under the direction of the Council of 12, the four archangels and all the beings who have been with us in our crucible began to the delivery of our crucible to the far reaches of the cosmos, and it has been given to the master beings who were recruited for the reconstruction and upgrade of the crucible that served us very well for over 5 years. The third session, February 20th, we had an upgrade of the first triad to enable us to access a different Sacred Heart consciousness. Under the direction of the Council of 12, we brought our prime directive into the chakras of the first triad. That was a biggie. This enabled us to have a refined function of our Sacred Heart. This shows us that we have value and a consciousness that is beyond the egoic influence. The Council of 12 impressed upon us the significant gift of our prime directive. We then traveled in our upgraded Merkaba vehicle that was spinning at 150% light, and we traveled through far distant galaxies and force fields. We exited our Merkaba vehicle one by one, and we were escorted by two archangels into the new cosmic light crucible, and we took our seat, emanating our personal light codes and frequencies that were woven into the crystalline plasmic matrix of our new cosmic crucible. We then returned to our Merkaba vehicle that was set at 150% light to return to our galaxy and Stargate. Session 4 was March 6, 2022. And this was a community call, but it was a little different. We were given a group service project by the Council of 12 to transmit the element of love and light to all beings on Earth who would receive it. They said to continue transmitting the fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional light templates because we have more power than we know. Milena, do you want to continue?
Yep. Okay. So then that was followed by the March 20th session. And that was for our ceremony and unveiling an introduction to our new sacred crucible, which has been described as the sacred, celestial, cosmic, diamond-like, crystalline temple of illumination and acceleration. So that those words and that description are light encoded, filled with energetics. And as we were introduced to this to the new sacred temple and all the magnificent possibilities that it has, it was just really a glimpse into what it really will become for us. It's so much more. And I can tell you that they are already excited to share with you next March other things that are occurring with our sacred light temple. We were told that this light temple of light, this temple of light, had been created from the most refined and complex energetics possible, and would be instrumental in assisting us to receive, hold, and integrate all of the upgrades, expanded light teachings we would receive throughout the year. And of course, we had no idea the extent of what those activations would be until now. So then we continued on into April 4th, and in that, which was session 6. And the Council of 12 spoke to us then about clarifying all of the upgrades we had done to the Merkaba, which provided more light for our light body. And they went through each segment of those upgrades one by one. And that was a very, very intensive upgrade to all of that. And it prepared us again for raising our frequency to move through and integrate all of the things that would be coming throughout the year. Session 7, which was on May 16th, began with a brief review of the highlights of some of the things we had accomplished since 2016. The Council of 12 then spoke about the upgrades to the first triad. And then they began to proceed to guide us in upgrading the second triad. Next, they taught with us about upgrading the body to a fifth dimensional state and to use the second triad to help our cellular system repair itself by using the golden nectar. We move on to session 8, which was June 12th. And this was a very complex and integrated session where much occurred on multiple levels. The League of Michael and the League of Gabriel continued the upgrades to the second triad by the spinning and the drawing from the other triads into the second triad. This was an expansive upgrade and activation. The Council of 12 then came forward to transmit energetic holograms from the creative realms of source. We then began weaving the first and second triads. That was followed by a discussion with Joan and I about the dark imprints, and that was now was the time to reframe our perspective. We followed that discussion by the process to transform the dark implants, and we were assisted by the 12th dimensional elemental beings. We visited the past to the point of origin of the first implants and imprints. And then we visited the future. The future version of ourselves gifted us with crystalline rays of healing light. So we encourage you to revisit this extensive session from time to time. Session 9 was on June 26th. And this opened with a discussion about the special dispensation we had been given in clearing the dark implants. And when we had gone into the future, we were told however far into the future we had to go, had we not been given those crystalline healing rays, it would have taken us that long in our incarnation to clear those implants. We had a group discussion after that. And then the Council of Twelve's teaching was about upgrading the third and the fourth triads and silencing the rational mind, which I think most of us struggle with from time to time. They guided us on using the undifferentiated light of source and bringing it into the triads. The seed crystals, the pineal, the medulla, and the Ark of the Covenant were put in play and woven into the triads to create a level of unity in the mental and emotional bodies. And that was a very important and profound session. And most of you really felt the effects of that, all those activations in that second triad. Then session 10 was on July 17th. Joan gave us information on the many types of light configurations that are now available for us to draw from. And the Council of 12 came forth and we upgraded the third triad. In this important and in-depth session, we received the beautiful prism of light from the creative realm. The council gave us a lot of valuable information, and this is another session what we suggest you review during our downtime. In session 11, which was on August 7th, we began the segment with information on the neurons of the brain and the reprogramming that is occurring with all the light codes we have received. The teaching from the Council of 12 was about anchoring the new monitoring system that had been placed in our field called the Deca Delta Manifold. This was a multi-layered teaching incorporating many, many components and another that we encourage you to review. Next, Anrata joined us and the eight Syrian lions and spoke about the 8-8 portal. We were gifted with specific streams of light-coded energetics created for our group. The white Syrian lions then transmitted the holographic imprint of the 8-8 template into our second triad, which was activated then during conference.
All right. Then in session 12, which was on August 21st, Milena led us in an energetically upgraded version of Master Kutumi's prayer. This brought the prayer into the present time that matches the frequency of where we are now. Milena then talked about how we are not our bodies. The Council of 12 then spoke to us about the epikinetic and the eka bodies and the need for change in our physical body system. They also spoke of the epigenetic body, which is a subfunction of the epikinetic body. And they then led us in a procedure to release old traumatic patterns. This session, again, there's not one session that wasn't a really important session in the way in which the council organized these activations and the concepts that bring us into a fuller understanding of our origination and who we are. So again, review is very necessary in our downtime. On September 18th, we had session 13, and this session was a community call as well as a question and answer session. We covered the 10th, 11th, and 12th teaching sessions, and you were encouraged to respond to any questions from the experience and wisdom of the group. There were some wonderful nuggets of wisdom that were discovered within the individuals of our group. Amazing. This is so important for you to realize. When you know something, it's coming from your inner wisdom. Share it when you have the opportunity. When we have a question and answer that you know very well what that answer is from parts of your inner self and the wisdom of who you are. Session 14 was on September 25th. So they were pushing us pretty hard. Some months we had two sessions. Master El Moria was present to present concepts of the quadratic configuration of the holographic parts of this session. He told us that the epikinetic body and the eka body were sacred bodies that are a part of our light body. We were told how important it was to change our belief and our perceptions of third dimension. That third dimensional paradigm has many tentacles to it, and our old beliefs and all and our perceptions, and many of those, you know, do not work now. But every once in a while, they sneak up on us when we're not expecting it. So it's important that we pay attention. He spoke about the importance of aligning our higher mind with the higher creative mind of Source and using the third triad. And Moria said that for us to use the epikinetic body and the eka body, we must move beyond any limitation of third dimension and create the light frequencies that are needed. And I think we're doing that very slowly as we upgrade our frequencies and try to maintain those higher levels on a more consistent basis. El Moria then led us in a practice to upgrade our higher mind. On October 9th, we had session 15, and that was our last session of the year before the conference. Master Kutumi presented teachings that are an adjunct to the massive holograph that was presented by Master El Moria in session 14. He presented a statement to be added to Kutumi's prayer. Master Kutumi gave us an uncomplicated version of the element of love that was stepped down from the first ray of creation through the second ray of creation. That might be important for us to review also. And that statement, if you are not presently using it, to maybe consider using it, because it's just a statement about I am and who you are. We will be able to use the unlimited creative force when our state of consciousness is prepared, and we are being prepared. So with that was all of the basic points of the overview of the sessions that we had. So why don't we open it up for a little, if anybody has any comments about that or something they want to discuss or actual questions that maybe the group could answer. Anyone? You have to unmute yourself.
Hello, this is Charlotte.
Charlotte.
There was three things that I have observed since our conference.
Uh-huh.
The first one was when we met our luminary light being that's going to be with us.
Uh-huh.
And they said that we were going to get their name. All I got in the beginning was a circle with two circles inside of them, one circle yellow, one circle orange. So the next, you know, thought, okay, fine. Well, then, you know, as I start processing this, and it's, I'm going, okay, then. So I looked at yellow and orange, and I looked at the sound tones of all of our colors. So if you take your sound tones of do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, her name is re, mi, because it's yellow and orange.
Oops.
And so that's how I figured that piece out. And because it presented in circles, I knew it was a female, because had it been a male, it would have presented in a triangle or a square or some lines, as I call it. And if it had been androgynous, it would have presented in a circle where you have the lines around the circle, like a stop sign, or, you know, any of those circles that have multiple sides to them. So that's why I knew it was a female. And then one of my meditations since then, I called her in and she presented that symbol. So I knew she was present, and that's helps with the communication. The next day, or in there, when with all of the stuff we do with our head, and my vision was changed, I start seeing things in my own world that I have had for a while. And all of a sudden, you're seeing another depth to it. And it started out with, I had a fleecy jacket that had leaves on it for the fall. And I knew it had leaves on it that were brown and green. Well, now I'm looking at it and I'm finding out that some of the leaves were two colors of green and two colors of a brown orange. I never knew they had two colors in some of the leaves. So I'm seeing a detailed level on things that, you know, and a depth and a texture on things that I have never seen before, even in objects that I present, you know, have had for quite a while. The other part of that, or the downsides of that, is I'm also seeing all the chaos and all the things that need to be upgraded around the house, all the dust bunnies and things that go, okay, I think I better upgrade all of that stuff. But I'm also seeing the depth of the beauty in all of the objects, in all of the scenes. So jump another subject. One of the days, as we're processing that, how everything has changed, I was having a sensation in the back part of my head. And so then I was looking at how was the energy flowing differently in there. And this time it was flowing like it was those loopy ribbon back and forth, starting at the top, the higher point, all the way down to the base of the neck, making these figure lacy loops back and forth. And then I realized they were also from the front and the back of my head. And so the energy was feeling very different in there, very smooth and flowing, but in a very specific flow, which, you know, helped me to see some of that. And basically, since conference, to me, it was like the week I got a new cell phone and the old thing's gone. And here you are with the new idea and you have to figure out how to function in it. Nothing is functioning the same.
That's right.
You know, we just, with everything we did for the year, but then the conference. So now it's figuring out how to live from this new space, because there, you know, you busted the bubble. There's no going back. So it's an adventure.
It is an adventure. And, you know, we couldn't have done it, activated what we did in the conference, had it not been for those 15 sessions that went before.
Oh, yeah. And I can see how this is building on. And now we have to become more proficient on this, on integrating this and applying it. Right. And the other piece that I'm very noticing is, right now we're holding within ourselves absolutely everything we need to do the creating. We just have to be, develop more of our application in actually using it and be able to pick which parts you need to use for what. It's not necessary to be seeking something outside anymore, because we have all the tools. It's just learning which one to use for what, kind of like having a kitchen and all the stuff in it. Now you have to learn how to cook. You have to learn when do you do what, at which temperature and how long, and how to pick, you know, those different things out when you are trying to make this creation. And and then using some of these things. I was watching some of it come in and how I was transducing it down through that Deca Delta, because otherwise we're, you know, we want to bring in so much and so much is available. If you can't handle it quite yet because you haven't got your physical body up to speed, you'll short circuit things. And so that's why sometimes I want to bring more in. And then I got to remember my brain and my emotional body's ready, but the physical body still has got to upgrade some to be able to handle it.
Well, thank you, Charlotte. That was a wonderful explanation. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Jana. Hi, guys. You brought up a great point, Charlotte, about I'm working a lot with the color codes and the Antahkarana, you know, the rainbow bridge with the chakras and how that interplays and how it actually participates as a contribution into our creative endeavors, as well as the sound, of course. But as she's mentioning the yellow and the orange, we know in the physical chakras that the orange is the second chakra and of creativity, and the yellow is the tantien, as they say in Oriental medicine. It's also called the seat of the soul, that solar plexus, our power place. And so I've wondered for quite a while, I want to open this up to see if anybody might shed some light on it, of we're obviously the first three chakras have absorbed into the sacred heart chakra and the first triad. But do these first three chakras, our physical chakras, as we're learning to a new language, so to speak, about manifesting, do they come into play more than we've used to this point? Like, what's your take on that? I'd be interested to hear.
From my perspective, it's not so much the chakras, but each part of your body runs on certain color codes and sound codes. And, you know, like I've got all the codes for every vertebrae in the spine. I've got all the codes of what colors come out of which fingers on your hands. And you can choose to charge up a certain circuitry just by putting the right finger on one of the acupuncture points of that meridian. I have a lot of this information because I've worked with it for a lot of years. So as we're using, and especially as we jump that prism to another octave, it's enabling us to bring through a frequency of color that has far more, to me, more energy in it is the best way I can explain the difference. It would be kind of like seeing a color that was a crayon, and now you're getting to see the same color, but it's coming off of a light. And so there's a whole difference in the emanation of the colors that we're now able to bring through since conference.
Well, okay. So as I'm hearing that, I'm wondering if actually as I've held for so long now that there's really nothing going on out there, you know, externalizing and objectifying is really a third, fourth dimensional construct, you know, that keeps people unconscious, really. But is it more that I see things very fluidly, you know, and the chakra is an interface with the through the endocrine system with the physicality, because sovereign in a body is a really big topic.
And so, yeah. And so as far as upgrading the physical body, so are all of your acupuncture points and all your spin points enabled to bring that through all your layers of your body. So it, you know, If somebody, say, has, you know, a tight muscle, there's two sets of systems that I look at right away. One is first, it's kind of like if something's not working, check if it's plugged in, you know, check if the energy is getting to it. So that would be the flow of the meridian. Second is it locked up? So a muscle that's locked up, it's like it went into its small position and turned itself off. So then it's like, okay, you plugged it in, you know, it's got juice, now turn it on. As we're changing and layering all these energetic bodies together and upgrading so we can function out of the higher version, that's why they're giving us access, or we're learning to be able to command, because of who we are. That's why we're becoming masters of light. The different levels and quantitativeness that is needed in that, you know, to sustain that. And I know I just, because it's always sits in front of my computer, is my color codes to my name. I've been running those again because that's my stabilization. If any of those are faded out, then you're wobbly. And it's just an easy one to do because it's your, you know, we talk about our personal codes and stuff, but then they kind of get set in the background and we keep looking at the new stuff coming in. And sometimes we have to, you know, get back to balancing individually whatever it is you need or which system that we, you know, because we've got these, you know, integrating some of the energetic bodies into each other is take some attention.
I want to draw your attention to the fact that those first three chakras, long time ago, were brought into the function of the first triad.
Right.
So
yeah, that's an intellectual understanding at this point. I'm just wondering if, you know, I look at the Antikarana, for instance, and the Rainbow Bridge, which has the fluidity of all of the color codes, you know, within it. And that, can you correct me if I'm wrong, that that's the bridge from the third to the fourth triad, as the magenta is, lotus is, you know, foundational to that?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Well, it's like there's a...
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm speaking direct to Joan here.
Right. You know, there's a bridge. There's a bridging at first in that triadic system. And I think my awareness, I haven't worked a lot with that Antikarana bridge, but is between the fourth and fifth triad. Milena, do you have any thing you want to say about that?
Not well, you know what? We haven't talked about the Antikarana Bridge since way back in MA days, early MA days for me. And so I don't know everything about it, but the way it was first introduced to me, which was what I was thinking about when you brought it up, Jana, that Rainbow Bridge, that Antikarana Bridge, is our bridge back home. So it's not limited to just between the third and fourth, but that's where we were, you know, before. So now it's something that keeps expanding. It's like the road appears in front of you. so it's like, yeah, that is what I'm seeing. And that's what we are following home. And then as you were talking too, I was thinking about, and also what Sherlani said, you know, we've been given so many things through the years, so many pieces and parts and all of these tools and all of these energetics. And so it's very hard to keep them all in your awareness field. So if you kind of look at that graphic behind me, which of the Taurus, and each one of those streams of light So maybe think about all of the things we've been given for all of these years are all incorporated in each one of those streams. You know, they're somewhere in there for us to draw from. And so all of that, to me, is also creating and building that Anthocorona bridge back home.
Yeah, we're in a constant state of that. Yeah. I do get that. And my reason for bringing it up, you know, in conversation now is really to just be looking at the living application, you know, of our states of being rather than addressing it in any kind of more fixed or intellectual way. It's like we have this silent time coming, you know, for this next, and this seems to be the opportunity, you know, to bring it up because it feels as though the sound codes and the sound currents, you know, and the light codes are going to be playing a really principal role, you know, as we're living into our ascension path. And yeah, so I'll leave it like that. But
yeah. Well, every single thing we've done is influencing who we are and where we're going, even if it's not in our immediate awareness, because we've done so much, you know, through the years. But put it all in that field, that, you know, that toroidal field, it's all available to us. And it's just where we put our attention. But it's certainly, all of it's available to us at all times. And I'm just, you know, I'm really excited about learning more, A, about that toroidal field, even though it's been, you know, it's part of who we are. It's been with us all the time. But now putting our attention on it and, you know, when showing you that model, which I have over there, and there's a whole lot more to that I don't understand, but I hope that we all are able to grow into, because we're right at this precipice of this whole other level of complexity of energetics, and by bringing in that eighth dimensional time lock, and how I don't know that we're just beginning to have glimpses of the possibilities, I think, from where we are. And it's very exciting to watch.
You know? It is, you know, and we've been told that we need structure in order to create structure and movement, you know, and it was once pointed out to me that the journey of the soul is one of fractality.
Exactly. You know,
of the fractals. And if you look at this, the moving video of a Mandelbrot, for instance, it's this ever evolving, and it's contracting and expanding, and our attention points are just that, you know, as Charlotte's mentioning, the spin points and the axitonal, you know, communication pathways, it's the point is our attention point, you know, because it's where we're consciously, intentionally putting a creative focus, and then we expand on it simply by putting our attention and intention on it, you know. Right. So we get into this we've been working with circular time. I have a feeling that we're going to be working more with spiral time, you know, and
how the universe is constructed. Everything's constructed on that spiral.
Yeah. And we're just tuning in.
Yeah.
Right, thank you. Thanks very much.
Yeah. As long as we are talking about our tool chest and the energy anatomy, I've been wondering if we specifically focus on the magenta lotus as part of our creations now, or how its role has changed.
Can I say something?
Sure.
What I saw was when the ray of the divine feminine, the she, anchored on the planet, it created a luminosity. And this luminosity is that color, the aqua that you're seeing. And it's blended it's like seeing the new rainbow or the rainbow above the rainbow, the next rainbow of colors that, you know, whether you can see it or not, it's still there, you know. But it's luminous, very much like the circle of luminosity that was put in play. I think that's really the colors, and it's like this just this sheen that just goes over, in, through, and around the lotus. So that now when it's flowing with almost, it's not glitter, it's just this sheen, and the colors dance and change, and oh my God, it's stunning.
Right.
And exactly what it does, I'm not really so sure.
Well, I think
that's what I...
Upgrading the energetics or upgrading everything in our toolbox, everything. So it's just not this thousand petal lotus. It has color and depth and sound, and it functions in multiple dimensional ways. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Katarina, does that answer your question?
Well, it gives me some ideas. And Linda, that was a very beautiful description. I could see that happening as you were talking about it. So, you know, what I would like to suggest is that even as we're working in our time of silence, if we get questions or if we get understandings, to continue sharing them through our Facebook page so we can spur each other's growth.
Yes, I think that's an excellent idea, Katriana.
Yeah.
We don't use it as much as we can. And a lot of times we're so interested in sharing nuggets of information that we find from different sources that we forget about what we have inside of us and to share it with the group, because, you know, everybody has their individual piece of mastery that they really help the group when they share it.
I wouldn't mind sharing one little thing, what I've been experiencing, because this conversation has been very helpful. This is Kelly, and I've been having a lot of trouble with my nervous system. Some of that, of course, was spawned from injuries a long time ago, and that's what I thought it was all about. And now from this conversation, I'm wondering, I've been having a lot of tension in the back of my head, down my neck and down my spine, having trouble getting it to calm down. And now I wonder if it's just me trying to figure out how to process this new frequency of energy in my body. And I just thought I'd put that out there to see if anybody else is experiencing anything like that. Because I think I will, because of this conversation, approach what I'm feeling differently.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, I've had lots of aches in my body. My body has hurt like I've had the flu, but I don't have the flu. It's just been very, very achy. And I can attribute it to the body adapting to these really high frequencies, and so many of them at one time. You know, that was a lot of energetics that came through during those 3 days. And so it was like, now the body has to sort it out.
Well, yeah, they're pure energies. That's, I think, you know, a really big point, is that we're kind of betwixt and between. You know, as many of you are, I'm sure, going into the sleep state with Kutumi and from session 15 of that practical piece, that we are with the intention of transforming the third dimensional body into the fifth dimensional physical state. And the conference, of course, is, you know, like a megawatt universal bulb, you know, that's just been lit up in us. So the purity of those energetics, I think, I know in yoga meditation, when we do an intensive weekend, you know, like the conference, people would laugh, but it was like Shakti was the pure spiritual energy from source. And people would sort of with a tongue in cheek call it the Shakti flu, you know, after, because the physical symptoms like are just there as these purer, you know, more highly resonant energies are coming in. They have to push on anything that's dense.
Yeah, and don't forget, we're changing that light into that plasma, that crystalline plasmic light, you know, because we've now finally reached this point. And that is going to create big changes in the body, because the body has to go through those changes in order to move into that fifth dimensional state.
Yes.
So if I could ask, then I'd like to know if does anybody have any suggestions for me about how to deal with this?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Go for it.
The thing that came to my reality pretty dramatically was that when the ray arrived for us, which I believe actually arrived during the equinox, or the not the equinox, but the whatever that is, you know, when the moon and the sun
eclipse,
the whole thing, the eclipse. Thank you. That the purity, the beauty, and the energy of that ray, which we've all been prepared to receive, every single one of us has, when that anchored literally and came into our energy field, there was so much distortion that we have removed already. But when you have that kind of level of light stepping, flowing through you, completely through you, you become aware of the parts that are not as light. And because your physical body has a pocket of it somewhere. So it lights up, and then there's the act of releasing it. You know, it's like it can be very fast, or maybe you need to kind of work on it. But it's like it's pulling it out of the body so that she has space to be. Where we now have the ability to connect with the she. I've been channeling her for months now, but now it's all making sense. But what I'm going to suggest is something that everybody talks about, you know, tongue in cheek, to stand in gratitude, because it's a spot in your physical vessel that can be removed so easily, because now it's lit up, you can see it, and you know, so it's just like picking up the. Like a cigarette butt. It's like, okay, there's one. Let me get that and put it into the violet fire, get rid of it because I don't need it anymore. And then that energy now has space to be. And that's what we're doing. We're cleansing our physical body so that the energy of the she, which includes the he, has space to be. And it's like you've been purging for a really long time, and kudos to you. You're doing a kick-ass job, you know? But it's not comfortable. You know, I mean, I went into depression right afterwards when I was like in rejoicing. It's like this was the biggest day of my life when you guys brought that to us. But it was because there were things in my physical vessel, memories from past lives, literally, of major trauma, PTSD. And man, did it show up. And it's like, okay, so pull that string, unravel that cord. I don't need it anymore, because now she is going to take that space. It's like, well, right on. So it really is kind of that simple. And as soon as you step into gratitude, it can't exist for you any longer. It's like, it doesn't feel the same. It does exist, but it doesn't feel the same. It's easier.
I have a comment.
That's what I've found. Okay.
Charlotte, because we're doing what I call phase in, phase out, that's that pristine energy versus whatever, wherever everything is at. But in your vertebrae and in your back, think of those as circuit breakers. And they run the different organs of your body. And so as you have that pressure or whatever in a certain area or on a particular one, it is that part of the body that is being, I call it, rewired at the time. If you can imagine going to a circuit box and, okay, you used to have the old fuses that you screwed in and now you want breakers and, you know, upgrading so you can handle the frequency that you didn't have, you know, and we're running 150 and going or something that's going to be far greater than that. And we can't be running around with the fuse box that only has, you know, the 60 amp little screw-in fuses because you're going to keep blowing them. And so some of those, and that's why you can, to me, it's easy because I know it, but you can run color, you know, and find out which one smooths that out for you. Because, you know, I'll get the chart off to Joan so she can print it up for everybody. But, you know, because you can draw that into that circuit and say, okay, this one needs this so that it is, you can smooth out some of that uncomfortableness. And the flu-like symptoms is the fact that you are taking these particles out of your body and that all goes into the lymphatic system, which all has to clear out of the body because we still have a physical body and we're choosing to upgrade this physical body from what was to where we're going, from a carbon base to a silicon base to all these higher energies. And there's a lot of house cleaning.
I might just add for one second, as I'm listening to you, the thought was we have been so habituated to the classroom orientation, we have to get out of the classroom and get out in the playground, you know, and just start experimenting and playing with things and discovering within ourselves. It's constantly changing and morphing, but we can start having fun with it and getting to be those really playful and hone our creative skills at the same time. So thanks.
Absolutely.
We have three people wanting to make comments. Do you have comments? We need to move on because time is getting away. This has been great. We probably need to have more of these conversations. But Susie, you've had your hand up for a really long time. Could you be kind of succinct?
Yes, I will. I was just, had an experience yesterday. We had a Christmas craft fair at our fairgrounds. And I went in and I was looking through the different big buildings. And I was aware that I wanted to get these cinnamon almonds that I get from this guy. And I just, that was my first thought when I went in this building. So I'm walking around and I thought, see this guy where he's set up and there's nothing there. I mean, all the stuff is gone. And I went, wow, that's odd. And so I walked on and pretty soon I see him come back and I went over and I said, did you run out of stuff already? And he goes, I could tell he was just frazzled. My supplier ran out and I'm trying to put things together and I didn't get everything I needed. And he went on and on. And so I got to talking to him and I just told him that, you know, he said his wife died a year and a half ago. Maybe that has a lot to do with it. This is more of a female type job. Maybe I really need to get in and out of this into something else. And so anyway, I just talked to him and I started telling him how I work. I don't attach. People are so negative. Everybody's coming at me. Everybody's just be so nasty. I got to get out of here. And I just told him, you know, I volunteer at Wildlife Safari. I volunteer with a health and wellness group. And I said, and I just surround myself with people where I vibrate with that are kind and generous and loving. And I don't experienced that in my world. And he says, well, yeah, but you're volunteering. I said, well, yeah, but and it's not even about the money, because we talked about the money. And I said, it's what I choose to do, what I choose to refuse to let into my space. And so we went on and we talked, and pretty soon he's hugging me, and I kept trying to leave, and I couldn't leave because he kept wanting to just talk to me more. And so finally, after to make this short, after like the third time, he said, I don't know what it is about you, but he goes, you're just really special and really have light. And he was very masculine, you know, and all that. And by the time I left, we hugged again, and he still didn't want to let me go. I could tell it was just, I was really aware of, I was in a multidimensional space. I was focused with him. I was observing him. I was listening to him. I was in one-on-one time, and yet I was aware of what he was saying, his experience, what was around me. And it was just kind of a really different space that I was aware that I'm expanding into, and having him tell me how much he appreciated and loved my light was really special, you know, because he definitely said he felt it. That was nice.
Thank you. Sandy, you've got something short?
you're muted, Sandy.
Unmute yourself, Sandy.
Okay, sorry. It is short. Yesterday, I went out to shovel my driveway, my porch, and thinking that last year I wouldn't have had the energy to do that. And it was like, oh, okay. And I'm shoveling the snow, and it's just sparkling, beautiful, and shiny. And what came to me is, I can do this. I can do this. My body can do this. And that's it.
Wonderful.
Big change from last year.
Yeah.
Awesome. Kathleen, you were up there, and I know you have something to contribute, which I kind of know what it's about. So I think I would like for you to share, because some others in the group might be experiencing what you were experiencing.
Well, I actually put it in the chat, so I don't need to take up space.
Okay.
Yeah. I just agree with what everyone is saying, but I know you need to move along. So I just put it in the chat in response to Kelly.
Okay. One of the things, well, if you would just share briefly what you have experienced, because I think others may have had some of those experiences.
Okay, sure. excuse me. Basically, I was also, I think Jan has also mentioned having some symptoms in her female area, like ovary pain and stuff like that. And I totally agree with what Linda was saying. I think that, and I also appreciated Jana's comments about the lower chakras. I think, you know, for me, bringing that energy up to the heart, sacred heart, was so important, but there are still residue in the lower chakras and from past lives and trauma. And so what's worked for me, as I mentioned to Kelly in the chat, I didn't send it yet, is just slowing down the Merkaba field for like a day. I was trying to sustain it at a really, you know, at that 100, 152. And it was creating, it was like the download from the Shi. And I was feeling it like a week or two before the conference. And I forgive me, the men in this group, if this is too graphic, but I literally felt like I was ovulating, like I was fertile. And that's just not possible, you know, at this point. And I felt like I was like having, you know, a rejuvenation of that area. And so I tuned in and I was very clear to stop any kind of hormone replacement and all of that. It was too much because the energy coming in was actually changing the DNA, changing the hormone structure of my body. And so I just had to listen. And that's hard for me to sometimes really believe that that's true, like that this light is that powerful. But as soon as I stopped the medication, and that means I don't take any other medications, I just do supplements, everything evened out. And I also have had, like Linda talks about, memories are held in the womb, you know, like as women, and for men, I'm sure it's held in that area too, in the you know, dantian and the sacral chakra. And so going back to our tools, that eighth session where we, you know, reached forward and backward and not even needing to know all this details, but I, like Kelly, I so appreciate like that the body is now showing, it's like lighting up where I thought, oh, I had forgiven everyone. it really wasn't complete by any means. So yeah, the violet flame has been wonderful, using the eighth ray tools. And, you know, certainly connecting to the luminous one. But I think the biggest takeaway from all of it for me was to not go into fear, because I would feel these pains and I would, you know, call the doctor, or I would read on the internet, God, crazy not to do. Because it just, there's nothing going wrong. It's just an upgrade. So I hope that's helpful, because it's helpful to me to hear I'm not the only one having these ascension symptoms. To the degree, aches and pains are one thing, but I think the female organs are so precious. And so when that's kind of, you know, making signals, it was a concern. So was that what you wanted me to share? Was there?
Well, you had mentioned to me about some of your lineage things coming up.
Well, for sure. Yeah. So that, you know, it's really kind of a matter of going into meditation and asking to be shown. And one of the things that, you know, I think in the old days when we were like clearing, or we were just divorcing ourselves from what we thought were family of origin, you know, that we had to step away from these families. And what I'm aware of, especially just this morning, is that, you know, we all danced different dances, and I can't polarize with the people in this group because I did some hurtful things to them in other lifetimes as well. And so to really see the balance sheet, you know, kind of even out. But then also, as you've mentioned, Milena, in other sessions, I made a list of all the things that I really acknowledge that's so powerful. I mean, I really come from Harvard professors and MIT professors. I mean, my family origin is very intellectually and academically accomplished. Emotional intelligence has some to meet up with that, but to at least make a list of what I value in that, because that's all part of me, is really the way of embracing it all with compassion, instead of, oh, I'm a victim of this lineage, because that's just keeping me hooked to fall back right into all those patterns of anger, resentment, you know, all that stuff that creates the karmic wheel, the cycle. But if I can see them for who they are, as, you know, just beings on the path, and appreciate them, that really is a game changer as
right,
well.
Right, rewriting that narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you know, taking that different perspective, and it's not just, we tend to focus on the negative aspects of those lineages sometimes, and, you know, and the, how that has affected us, but we forget, you know, we have done so much work for so many years to clear that aspect, those negative ones. And we have risen above it. It's only our thought processes that keep us hooked into it. Now we have the opportunity, because of all the things we've done. Now those lineages also brought you many gifts as well. So start reframing that and shift that perspective into receiving the gifts from that lineage, and not just focus on, well, I got this, and oh, the family did this, and, you know, all of those things, that these stories we keep telling. Let's, you know, you're powerful beings, rewrite that story, replace that. You've moved those energetics out. Now bring in those new energetics, and fill it up. Replace that vacuum with what supports you and the gifts that came to you, be it your personal lineage, your soul lineage, all of it. But thank you for sharing, because, yeah.
Well, I think we really need to move on. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I think that it's important that we share what's going on within us and how we are reacting to these energies. And the suggestions that were brought forth were excellent. I appreciate everybody that participated in this conversation. So next on our agenda, we were going to do a review of the activation. So Milena, you want to start that off?
And we'll make this brief since we spent a lot of time with this. Just kind of go through quickly, just bring it right into the present moment, the things that did occur during our three-day conference together. And as we've said many times already today, what a lot of things came in. So, of course, we began our conference with our procession into our new light crucible. And it was our first light conference in the new crucible. And what a magnificent venue, if you will, for us, and how it supported us and those energetics and kept those energetics moving throughout the conference. Jonah and I then talked a little bit about the significance of the 1111 portal. You know, what a vast portal opening that was, and those energetics that we were bringing in, and being the anniversary of the 11-11-11, where the Christic Matrix was returned to the earth. And then we had talked a little bit and gave you some information about that plasma and toroidal fields. Very valuable information, and we will go into more depth, we hope, in our 2023 session about those things. And then we moved into the Friday afternoon session. And of course, going into that eighth dimensional field was a game changer. And as Archangel Michael said, and the archangels, as they opened that gateway, walked us through that gateway, said, there is no going back. So we went and we met those luminous ones and that your own luminous being that you have a relationship with. And we received that eighth dimensional aspect of ourself that was placed into our luminous field. And we also received that eighth dimensional light template that we also carry in that luminous field. And so this sets in motion many, many things. So we're on one hand, we're building this fifth dimensional, our body into that fifth dimensional state. And we're still working in those fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensions. But now we've also now been given access to this eighth dimension. And this is like a whole nother, everything else we're doing is in this realm. But now with the eighth dimension, we now have this whole new realm we're entering into where everything is different, where all the frequencies and colors and sounds and everything. So yeah, so we've got a lot going on a lot of levels. So that pretty much, we also activated the 8-8 template on that Friday afternoon with the Syrian lions and with the luminous ones, and which again forever has changed that second triad. So and next year we'll go into hopefully a lot more. Our plan right now is to go into a lot more detail about each one of these things, but that took us through Friday.
Okay. So next, we had, the Saturday morning, and that was, we talked about the in the pre-conference, we had the activation of the sixth light packet and the ninth DNA strand. So we talked about that in the morning, and then we upgraded that activation to another level. And one of the things that stood out for me was that these strands of DNA that get activated, we've kind of, oh, well, yeah, that's good. We need another strand. But the significance of that and what it's doing to our physical body, the changes that those DNA strands are making in our physicality as well as in our consciousness. So that ninth strand of DNA that went along with that sixth light packet which enhances that strand, helps the body function at a new level in that fifth, sixth, seventh dimension, and eliminate some of those separation anomalies that we have as we're separate from one another, we're separate from God. That's really not correct. So this ninth DNA strand was a really big deal, as well as this sixth light packet. So the light body is now capable of drawing unlimited light streams from the quantum field. We never were able to do that before. That the light packets, the fifth, sixth, seventh dimension, seventh light packets emanate from the quantum field. They're massive light configurations. And then we intertwine that with the eighth dimensional light and the light template that was brought through on Friday afternoon. So there was a lot going on in upgrading all of those, the sixth light packet, the ninth strand of DNA, the ability to use the eighth dimensional light template and bring that into our body. So it's, you know, there is a reason why a lot of us are experiencing body pain. It's not just that this body is aging, it's the body is changing totally from a fallen, dense dimension into a more light-filled vehicle. So it was huge. Saturday afternoon, the council helped us activate the seventh light packet. So all of these things have a progression to them. And there's a prep that goes before the next thing is given. So this light packet is a very refined light packet. And it's greatly affected by the eighth dimensional light template in the heart center of the light body. The seventh light packet activates the 10th strand of DNA. And that strand relates to the soul-spirit unification. You know, we've talked about that for years. And just assumed, well, yeah, soul-spirit operates as one. But there is a difference between mentally knowing it and energetically having that happen. And the wisdom that is carried in that soul spirit unification that gets then transmitted not only into our body, into our unified field, but into our consciousness. The seventh light packet helps the light body have a direct influence on the physical body because the 10th strand of DNA activation. So that activation brings with it subtle energetic components of unity consciousness and aspects of wisdom. And it brings in another influx that affects the changes in the physical body. So these activations were powerful activations that affect the consciousness. They affect the energetic field, the unified field. They affect the light body, they affect the physical body. And then the council talked about the prism, how when we received that the very first time, it was in a fifth dimensional form. It's now been upgraded to a seventh dimensional state. But originally, and at some point, it'll be a 12th dimensional light prism with many more bells and whistles. But right now we struggle to use just that fifth dimensional iteration And the upgrade as we move into that seventh dimensional sequence of those light prisms. And when we took the first iteration of the eighth dimensional light template into all parts of us. We began to weave the light template into the 10th strand of DNA. So a lot is happening in your physicality because of these DNA strand activations and these light packets. They're huge. And the fact that they relate to the soul spirit. And we have a whole new communication transmission that is taking place in the unified, through the unified field and those toroidal fields. The next thing we talked about on Saturday was the 12th dimensional light prism and how it affects the seed crystals. That was huge. It is composed of multiple sounds, not just, you know, basic ABC sounds, but multiple upon multiples. And they contribute to the manifestation of the creative energies within each individual. We were directed to draw the light prism into our third eye. And the light prism is now a seventh dimensional light prism. The ninth ray sound relates to the light prism and to the 888 codes that now reside in the second triad. The light prism activates another level of seed crystals in the brain. It brings the seed crystals to another octave of energetics from which to transmit creative light from the fifth, sixth, seventh dimension. And the council asks us to move our attention to the seed crystals where the crystal clear, multidimensional diamond quadratic configuration is now forming over the chakras in the second triad. That is huge. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more of that. And that quadratic diamond that encompasses the entire head portion, all of the chakras in that part of your body are being upgraded tremendously. And it includes that temporal lobe where it's the recorder cell of everything that has ever occurred at that soul spirit level. And they talked extensively about the functioning of the lobes of the brain and how they were, you know, in third dimension, they function one way, but now they have multiple functions. And they function, the lobes have a spiritual function to them. And it affects the brain, the way the brain thinks and processes the complexity of what we are given now. When we alchemically change a human cell through the compression mechanism that is utilized in the second triad, everything that concerns the body and its consciousness changes. This is what's happening to you now. And it will continue to evolve and transpire in this downtime as you review, because there's a lot that you, little pieces and parts of this that you have forgotten or that you don't draw your attention to. They also told us that the seventh dimensional light prism is not limited by time or space. And it is permanently stationed in the center of the multidimensional diamond configuration. So that light prism operates in that second triad within that light diamond configuration, and it's constantly transmitted to all the seed crystals. The council said that the light emanation that you are capable of transmitting has changed your ability to transmit light by tenfold. That's a lot. So it's no wonder when you just go places, like a fair of some sort, and people start talking to you and they're drawn to you, they're drawn to your light. And it's the same thing when we do our service project, when we transmit that fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional light templates. The way in which that gets transmitted is a lot different today than it was a year or two ago. We don't have to intend anything. We don't have to focus our intention on it. It's just who we are. We are a being of light, a spiritual creator being. So there was a lot in that Saturday session. So before I turn it back over to Milena, I want to talk about the Sunday morning, because that was a huge, huge session for me personally. And I'm sure that if you think about it, it was great for you too, because the council talked at length about who we were and that we have forgotten it. And they brought us to a point where we could retrieve some memory codes and to start remembering that. They gave us a little history lesson on our fall of consciousness and in our many experiments and how they went askew, and that we had a fallen consciousness. They wanted us to remember that we are not only creators in form, but we are master creators of light. And they ask us to sit in that statement and just take it in and remember. They said that these memories stimulate and open us up to receive more fully the activations that had taken place in the first 2 days of the conference. And they told us when we are aware of a fuller spectrum of ourselves, we create reference points based on our original state of being. Now that's quite a change. Our original state of being. They then reviewed the activations that had been taken, that had taken place in the first 2 days, which was very concise. So you will want to, I ask you to review those before the session. So to continue to refresh your memory in that. The Council of 12 and the Luminous Ones gifted us with the first imprint of our master light packet. And they told us that they will begin to imprint it in our unified field several times in many iterations. At this point, in this particular time sequence and in our state of consciousness, we cannot receive it totally at this time. That master light packet encompasses all the energetics of all the other light packets, the DNA strands, and upgrades it to a master level. And so that they will continually imprint that master light packet in our energetic field, in our light body, in our unified field, to prepare us for the day in which we'll be ready to receive that master light impact light packet, and the effect that it will have on all seven light packets. So, you know, there was so much given just in those 2 days that it makes you be in gratitude for what was given to us, because it was something that unfolded so easily, it seemed, and naturally, but has impacted us at such a level that is profound. So, Milena, do you want to talk about Sundays? That was another one that was a very profound session.
Well, I think every segment was quite full, and then each subsequent one built on what had come before. And so Friday and Saturday and Sunday morning then prepared the way for the Shi to return. So we began that session with a little bit of a look back in history of the last 35,000 years and what actually happened that occurred that brought us to the place where the sacred feminine had been devalued over time. And so I thought that was an interesting aspect. And just kind of give it some grounded information on what had happened to bring us to that point and how that had been lost. So then the Shi did return, and she came in on that aqua blue ray. And what a magnificent ray that is. It was just, it's that beautiful aqua shimmering blue filled with gold and platinum light. And she talked to us about various things. And then we did actually go to our pillars and to the center of the earth. And we helped in bringing forth and bringing that ray into the Christic matrix, into the core of the earth, into the crystalline matrix. And we placed it to set beside the unity template. And that ray, along with, will influence the unity template itself. And those, this is something that will take time. It will, it flows, of course, in increments like everything else has done, but it definitely is something that many of us have waited for a very, very long time to have that return to the earth. And the Shi assured us that that template, that ray would never again be removed from the earth. So it's been a long time coming for most of us. And we were able to draw from that template into our own unified field. And we did so through that eighth dimensional aspect of our Sacred Heart Center that now sits out in front of our field, in front of our body, through the opening of that eighth dimensional light template. So it was a very full 3 days. And we will be integrating this over the next year to 2 years, because it was so massive. And we look forward to building on all of these things into our 2023 session. And as we said somewhere earlier today, I feel like we're at this precipice of being able of stepping into this next giant leap on our ascension path. And it's really getting to be more and more exciting, I think, as we go along. And we look forward to our continued journey together. And Joan and I appreciate each one of you being part of this with us. And we will be ready to gear up in March. But before we leave you, I think the council wanted to come in and say a few words. So we'll give Joan just a second to get herself prepared, and let's receive the council But again, thank each and every one of you for your participation, not only for today, but throughout this entire year. You know, each one of you are part of this. You are part of that stream of consciousness. It does not happen without you. So we thank you. But congratulate yourself as well.
Greetings, dear ones. We are the Council of 12, and we are present with you to close this last session of your year. You are in a state of achieving a level of consciousness that you have not had access to since the fall of consciousness. When you took on many human iterations through the eons and sequences of time, you had many limitations that were put upon you because of these various states of consciousness that you emanated in to human bodies and bodies of different types of matter. In this conference, you were required to begin to integrate massive holographic projections during the teaching sessions. You received many, many energetic upgrades that replaced the distorted programs that limited you tremendously through the many incarnations that were taken over eons of time. We desire now to assist you by giving you some encouragement to continue integrating the massive holographs that contain various creative light frequencies that will change you and have already changed you for eternity. Be kind to yourself as you slowly integrate these frequencies. Have no false expectations of exactly how many frequencies you need to integrate or how quickly you need to integrate them, but be in a space of just receiving, dear ones. This is a personal journey now, which is determined by your individual prime directive, and any remaining distortions in the mental emotional body that still remain to be taken care of. And some of you are already discovering some of those. So be gentle, kind, loving to yourself. These holographs that you are now integrating contain certain massive light frequencies that are in various ranges, and they have never been given in this lifetime sequence. When you fall out of certain refined frequency ranges, pause and observe and regroup. Do not judge. Judging yourself or others does not help, but it hinders your progressions, as well as creates more distortion in your mental emotional body. The integration of these massive light frequencies will take you through next year and through the following year, and possibly beyond. Now, we would like to talk about your unified field that you created many years ago of your time when you were Master Kutumi first taught you about the triadic system. At that time, you only had three triads that were activated. We want you to know that is always a well-protected field of light energy because of the movement of this triadic system. And this movement has increased over the years. That spinning is continually spinning. And because of the continual toroidal movement of the unified field, the field cannot be disturbed by distortions that you might think would cause an interference. This is because these negative creative distortions are not unified in light energies in any way, shape, or form. The current activations that you have received during this last year and in the 3 days of the light conference have catapulted you into a new level of consciousness. And we want you to understand that because you are now in a level of unity within your unified field. And you have achieved a level of mastery. The activation of the 8th, 9th, and 10th DNA strands was crucial to your present level of mastery and your ability to maintain certain light frequency levels. The unified field contributes to you greatly. It helps you to maintain a certain light frequency, regardless of what is going on in your outside world. You have reached a state in your development that certain negative programs cannot interfere with your state of being because there is no compatibility. There's no way that these outside influences can penetrate the unified field if you will practice being in it and keep it in play continually. You can, however, create your own disruptions by dipping into the workings of your rational mind or dropping into distorted versions of your belief system and your perceptions or your emotional reactions to those beliefs and perceptions. Remember, your mental emotional body is a very powerful creative energetic that creates form within form. You can and will create your own resistance to the pureness of your spirit that was created in the image and similitude of Prime Creator. You are a very powerful creator being. Your unified field remains pure by moving and revitalizing itself continually. It spins around the field of your physical body in an extensive range. It spins inside of you through the center column of your body. It is a massive toroidal field of a spinning vortex that emanates from the creative realms from which you came. A lot has transpired in the last year of your time. The 6th and 7th dimensional light packets, as well as the activation of the 8th, 9th, and 10th strands of DNA will help you tremendously with your lingering perceptions and belief system. The negative imprints cannot exist any longer. The Earth was created as a 12th dimensional planet of light. All humans were created in that same light. There are only two more strands of DNA left to activate. And we draw your attention to that. you have come a long way with the activations that you have received. And continually master. These activations change you, not only for this lifetime, but for eternity. The activations change you, not only for this lifetime, but for eternity. We have repeated this so that you really comprehend now what we are telling you. The influence of the eighth dimensional light frequency and the eighth dimensional light template contribute extensively to these changes. These eighth dimensional light frequency exist in the outer ridges of your unified field. They never go away. They will influence the field continually. Each activation continually changes you. The eighth dimensional light template is a principal set of energetics that will assist you in transforming your third dimensional physical body into a stable fifth dimensional body. The eighth dimensional light template also provided access to the eighth dimensional sacred heart matrix of your light body. This sacred heart matrix sits in front of the sacred heart center of the light body, where it can be drawn from in any dimensional sequence that is of fifth dimension or above. This sacred heart matrix fills your entire unified field with magnificent Christed light. And take a deep breath. Let us sit together now in the magnificent light field that spins continually, reinforcing your Christed image, transmitting it into the earth and all humans that will receive it as it is given. The entire membership of our cosmic light temple vortex now begins to transmit under your leadership Christ consciousness to the entire galaxy and all galaxies, star systems, and universes. A deep breath. We sit together and transmit massive Christed light that can be received in increments that are needed to enhance the light, but do not cause destruction. Let us sit in unison for a few minutes more before we close this year's sessions. Take a deep breath. Very present in this moment. We'd like to wish each and every one of you a blessed holiday season filled with love and light. Elena?
Blessings, everyone. Happy holidays. Look forward to seeing you all after the first of the year.
Blessings,
thank you,
everyone.
John, Joan, Malena, Kimberly, and everybody. Until the next gathering.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Thank you.
Blessings. Happy holidays.
Blessings, everyone.
Thank you.
Blessings, everyone.
Blessings.
Blessings.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
And happy holidays for everyone. And I treasure every single moment, us to be together, to see the faces, to hear all the teachings, to feel the energy which is palpable. And I'm just immense gratitude.
Oh. Been good the whole time.
Yeah. She brought two of them.
Aww. Did one of them have problems? I think she just left one there for Michael.
One of them.
Oh, and Susie put her pup up too.
Blessings, everyone.
Bye. Blessings. To see everybody.
Blessings.